In this episode of Connecting Faith and Life, I want to talk about a Bible passage that I will never forget. It is stuck with me. I also want to talk about a surprise baptism and something I learned from my PB&J today. Yes, in this episode of Connecting Faith and Life. Hello, thank you for joining me for the episode of Connecting Faith and Life. I really appreciate the fact that you take time to listen to this podcast, and my prayers is beneficial to you, that it will help you actually do that, connect your faith and your life. I listen to a lot of podcasts myself and a lot of audiobooks and things help me learn as I drive, as I do different things around the house. And so hopefully this is beneficial to you in your walk with God, to help you live for God by connecting faith and life. So I'm going to jump right in today, just share with you something I learned from my PB&J today. I call it my PB&J, which stands for prayer, Bible, and journaling. Now, I will confess, I am not as faithful as I want to be in doing it every single day. I've been doing really good, much better than the past. And it's something that I do. In my mind, I practice the presence of God. Everywhere I go, everything I do, I think about God. But sometimes I don't always sit down and journal. I want to journal every day. I do listen to my Bible every day. I do pray every day. But I want to journal more. And in my journaling, actually, most of the time it's a prayer. I'm praying as I type things and I'm sharing my heart. And it really helps me just to slow down a little bit, because my life, I don't know about yours, can be very, very fast-paced. Like, go here, go there, go there. And sometimes when I don't spend my time journaling, I just sense I get kind of wonky, so to speak. I don't. and although I'm listening to the Bible, I'm reading the Bible, I think there's something about the journaling part that actually makes that connection better. And so what I learned today is something that I've been learning and relearning. That's the thing about, if I look at my journal, and I don't know if you journal a lot, but I'll see some of the same things coming back over and over again, because I need to relearn them and rehear them. Because even though you heard it once, it doesn't mean you got it all together. And I have to remember that as a speaker and a teacher, because sometimes I'll teach something once and think, oh, these kids got it. They may have heard it, vaguely remember it, but I can go over it again in a different way, in a new way, a different angle, so they can stick a little bit better. And as I talk a little later about this Bible passage I'll never forget, I heard it one time, never forgot it, but every time I read it, I hear something a little differently from a different angle. So in my PB&J, I'm not going to read you my journaling time, but the thought that came up again is that God is faithful. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 13 says, when we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I was reminded again as I started my PB&J, here we go again. It's been a while since I wrote. It's been a while. Because sometimes I'll, you know, journal for 5, 6, 7 days, maybe a couple weeks in a row. Then I'll miss a few days and be like, oh, I'm back again. Here we go. Honestly, there's been times I miss months at a time. And I'm grateful that even if I miss that time, God is not mad at me. God is not waiting for me to do it perfectly to love me, that I'm accepted by God, that God loves me despite of myself, in a sense, that his love is not dependent upon me, and neither his faithfulness. And I wrote that again in my journal, that God, thank you, that this is another reminder that I have not been faithful in doing what I want to do every single day, but you remain faithful, that you remain faithful to yourself, to work in me, to work on me, to work through me, that you're faithful even when I'm not faithful. And I'm so grateful that God, the Bible says God is holy, right? He's holy other. He's not only is he perfect and pure without sin, but he's holy. He's different. He's set apart from us in a way that he's different. Yes, where he's making us into the image of his son, Jesus Christ, that we're becoming more holy, because the Bible says, be holy for I am holy. We're working that holiness out. He's working it through us and in us. But God is still holy other. And so he is so faithful. He's faithful to himself. And I love that verse because it says he cannot deny himself. His faithfulness is toward me, but it's for him that he cannot deny himself the work he wants to do in our lives. And that is a relief, because it's not dependent upon me. It is dependent upon him. And that is such, I can rejoice in that. And I'm grateful that God is faithful. And, you know, over the last couple of days, and this may sound kind of, this is connected in my mind. It was in my journal anyway. Over the last couple of days, I've been in different public places, and I'm meeting people who just are so excited about the work that God has done through me in the lives of these students. I met a mom. She just raved about, she has 4 special needs kids, and one of them heard me speak last year, and his life changed. Like, he started doing different things. He's got things on his wall. He remembers all things that I said, and he uses them in his life. And I think that was amazing. Went to another event. I spoke at Upward Sports, and another lady came to me and said, my boys were in high school. They're in high school now, but they when they were in elementary and junior high, they remembered you coming to school, and they still talk about you to this day. And I'm like, wow, like that's amazing. And I look at the fact that God has been faithful using my life, that God has been faithful. And it's great that I can sometimes hear those things, but often I don't. I don't see the results of the work, and I must remain faithful. Earlier, I did a podcast about this idea that it's important that a steward be found faithful, that I want to be faithful. And it's great. I'm grateful that God allowed me to see those glimpses of people's lives being changed through the work that he's called me to do, but I don't always see it. And so even when I don't see it, I need to remain faithful to what God is doing, what God has called me to do. And it reminds me of Jeremiah, the fact that Jeremiah, he was faithful to God. He preached and preached and preached, and no one repented. But he was still faithful. And God used him the way God wanted to use him, because Jeremiah was faithful to God. Even though he got discouraged, he's like, God, you deceived me. He was upset. You got to read the book of Jeremiah. But at the end of the day, Jeremiah did what he was supposed to do. And I believe Jeremiah was a success because he obeyed God. Not because so many people repented, not because the world was changed through him, but because he was faithful to the one who called him. And that's what I want to be. I want to be faithful. But today's journaling time was just really focused on the fact that, God, you are faithful. And I'm grateful for your faithfulness that I get to experience every day. And me not doing my PB&J every single day, but me not, you know, being perfect in it, it reminds me again that when we are faithless, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. Now, I'm not encouraging you to skip your time with God. I'm not encouraging you that. And I want to do it every day, because when I miss out, like I said, only God is judging me, saying, hey, you know, I don't love you anymore because you didn't do this thing. But I get to miss out, or I miss out on that special time with God. And so I want to encourage you to do your PB&J, prayer, Bible, and journaling. But I want you to remember, when we fall short, because we will, you know, we will not always measure up to our own standards, and even the standards God has for his children. But the beautiful thing is, when we are faithless, God remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. And in that, it reminds me to be faithful as I can, because God is faithful. All right, let me tell you about this surprise baptism before we get into this Bible passage. So I missed two Sundays at church. One, I was speaking at our youth retreat. I'm really grateful to do that. Then I was out of town in South Dakota speaking. So I missed two Sundays in a row. And that hurt me, because I love being my Sunday school teachers. I love being a Sunday school teacher every single week. Like, when I grew up, we had the same Sunday school teacher. It was my grandmama, but every single week, right? And sometimes in our world today, people are busy. They may volunteer every third Sunday or every second Sunday. And I appreciate that. I'm not downing that. But I just love that I can be there every single week to build those relationships with kids. But I missed 2 weeks in a row. So we get to church and we're kind of late, honestly. Our church has 3 services, 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11:15. So as a family, we go to the 8 o'clock service. I serve at the 9:30 and the 11:15. So does my daughter. She goes herself to 9:30 with the teenagers or youth ministry, and then she goes to serves in the kids ministry. Anyway, so we're at church. We get there kind of late, so we didn't sit in our normal seat. So we're sitting on the other side of the church, which is kind of weird, because you know when you get every single week, you're at the same spot. We probably should switch it up just to meet other people in the church. So, other side, service is over. The worship pastor's wife, both of them, come up to me and they say, hey, Lainey's getting baptized today, and she wanted to know if you'd, stand up there with her. I'm like, sure, And I was thinking, well, all my kids, I'm the only one that's going to be in my classroom today, so maybe I'll bring my kids down to watch the baptism. It'd be great to see one of their fellow classmates get baptized. Well, long story short, we worked it out to all the kids came down to baptism, and then the juniors and seniors, or the youth group, came down. So the entire church was in the auditorium for baptism, which I thought was actually a beautiful thing, because the kids were on the floor, teenagers were standing up. I mean, the church was packed to celebrate someone, identifying or publicly identifying that they have trusted Christ as their Savior, and several people were baptized that day. So I'm there, and so it's time for Lainey to get baptized, and the assistant pastor, hey, say, come on up. And I was going to come up and stand with the family. I thought she wanted me to stand there, but she wanted me to actually baptize her with her dad. And I'm like, oh, okay. And it's funny, because I love Lainey. I love all my kids. But we have this hot, cold relationship. One minute, she's my best friend. Next minute, she won't even give me a hug. Like, it's just this balance of cold and hot. But the fact that she wanted me to be a part of this special moment for her baptism meant a lot to me. That I get to share this moment with her and her family that she's identifying that she has trusted Christ her Savior and that she's willing to identify that in front of the whole world. And so it was great because after that, we went back up to our children's church or whatever you want to call it, and we talked about what baptism is and what it is. And I talked about, you know, it's a symbol, like my wedding ring. It reminds me, it's a symbol of my marriage. This baptism is a symbol of what happened when you trusted Christ, that you died to yourself and now you raised a new life. And so it was really great to be a part of that. And I'm grateful, you know, going back to the idea of being faithful, that, you know, I don't always see that these kids are listening or they're growing or they're even, you know, trusting Christ your Savior through the messages that I bring. I don't know if it was me or whether I watered the seed that was planted or planted seed to water. I don't know. I don't need to get that credit because ultimately I want God to receive the glory from that. But I'm grateful that God allowed me to be a part of this little girl's baptism because that's something that we can share our entire lives, that I was able to, with her dad, baptize her. And that was really cool. It was a surprise to me, but it was one of the good surprises that I like it. Because I have this love-hate relationship with surprises. You know, sometimes I like surprises, but then sometimes I want to know what's going to happen before it happens. You know what I'm saying? But this was a good surprise to help her continue her journey in walking with God. And that's a great way to connect faith and life, you know, getting baptized. If you haven't got baptized before, I want to encourage you. It's the next step. I think it's a step to show the world, listen, I'm identifying with the one who died for me and saved me. And that's a beautiful thing. And so I'm grateful again that I was able to celebrate that with Lainey and her family. All right, last segment, I want to talk about a Bible passage that I will never, ever forget. Because the first time I heard it preached, it blew my mind. And I like it a lot. I connect with it. But it just every time, I think about it often. It's in Acts chapter 4. And our church right now is going through the book of Acts. And I'm preaching a couple weeks. And I get to preach through the sermon of Stephen or Stephen. People call him different names. I'm grateful for the opportunity. But Acts chapter 4, this passage stuck out to me. And I'll never forget this passage. And part of the reason was the person who preached the first time I heard it. Now, I probably read it before, been through it before. You know, you can read the Bible. But when I heard this preacher preach on it, I never forgot. And I'll be honest with you, the reason that I remember it from him, because I didn't expect much from him. I'm just being real. I mean, we have our favorite preachers or people that we like to listen to. He was not one of those. He was speaking at a chapel at my job at the time, at this ministry I worked at. And I knew he was speaking. I thought, oh, man, I'm be real. I'm just being transparent. You can judge me if you want to. Maybe you've never had these thoughts before, but I thought to myself, man, he stutters. He's not that articulate. And I'm going to bring some work to do while he's, you know, speaking because, you know, I'm going to do my thing, right? And he begins to preach out of Acts chapter 4. And God taught me so much that day because, number one, stop judging people. God will use who he wants to use, right? Don't. Whenever I'm at a church, I don't care. Somebody preaching, somebody teaching out of the Bible, I got my Bible open. I'm saying, God, you can speak to them because guess what? You use me. You use me to speak to people. You can use anybody. And so I'm not going to be a respecter of person, so to speak, it says in James. I'm going to look at God. And even if I know, hey, I don't always connect with them, maybe they, like me, some people think you talk too fast. Maybe I'm not going to judge that. I'm going to say, God, you speak through that person and let me get something. Even if the sermon's not the greatest, God, I am, because the beautiful thing, when we open God's word, we're meeting with the God of creation. That we meet, the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us. And that is my prayer, God. Whenever I'm in the position to read your word, listen to your word, hear your word preach, will you speak to me? You know, will you communicate your word to me that it can change my life? And so after my prejudgment of him, I never forgot the sermon. So I want to share that with you today and what really stuck out to me in this passage. So I'm going to read a little bit, Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 1. And this is, I'll give you a summary of Peter and John were, you know, sharing the gospel, they were healing people, and this was making the Sadducees and the Pharisees upset because they were speaking of Jesus, and they were not happy about that. So, Acts chapter 4, verse 1, the priest and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. Verse 3, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew about 5,000. The next day, the rulers and the elders and the teachers of the law met in Jerusalem. Ananias and the high priest were there, and so was Caiaphas, John, Alexander, and the others of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? Speaking of healing this man, a man they healed in chapter 3. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a man who was lame and being asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. Verse 11. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. Verse 12. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Here's a passage that I'll never forget. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, and they were astonished and took note that these men had been with Jesus. Did y'all catch that? I think when I first heard it preached, it was preached out of the New American Standard. So I'll read this passage again. In this NIV I've been reading, he says this in verse 13. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, they realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. So when I first read this in a New American Standard, it said this in verse 13. Now they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men. They were amazed and they began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. The focus is like the fact that they knew that these men were uneducated. They were ignorant, one version says. They didn't know much. They weren't of the scholarly class. They weren't the Pharisees. These weren't those kind. They were fishermen. They weren't educated. But what stood out to them is that they had been with Jesus. It was evident that there was something different about these guys. And what that difference was, they had been with Jesus. They had been under the teaching of Jesus. And maybe I'm reading too much in this, but I think there's something different about us when we are with Jesus. That when we spend time with God, first of all, when we're believers, and in verse 12, he says, and there's salvation, no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given to men among men, which we must be saved. We must be saved through Jesus Christ. Our salvation does not come from us being good, does not come from us being in church. It comes from Jesus Christ alone. So in Jesus. So when we trust Christ as our Savior, we are changed. We're different people. That's why we shouldn't fit in so easily with the world. James says, friendship with the world is hatred toward God. We should not be like the world. Today I was watching, looking through Instagram as I was posting stuff on Instagram. This girl was talking about the fact that, about secular music, that we shouldn't be listening to all this stuff. And not as a rule, but like, does it really feed our souls? Now, I'm with you, girl. I'm with you. When some of this stuff we listen to does not feed our souls. It takes away because this is not fitting with us. This is not part of who we are. See, the moment we trust Christ as our Savior, not only are we saved, but now the Bible says the Holy Spirit comes live inside of us. Read John chapter 14 through 16 to talk about the role of the Holy Spirit. He lives with us. He leads and guides us in all truth. And so the fact that when we trust Christ, we are new people. We're changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Whatever one it is, those in Christ are new creations. The old have passed away, behold, the new has come. The fact that we are new people in Jesus Christ, that makes us different. But not only are we different because of that's our position, that is who God has made us, but there's something about our practice as well. That's why this whole ministry idea of connecting faith and life, the way what I believe in my faith should be connected to the way I live my life. And so it's more I spend time with Jesus, the more I'm in God's word, I am being changed. And there's something that's going to be different about me and how I live my life, how I talk, what I consume, what brings me joy. it's different the more I'm with Jesus, because I'm becoming more and more and more like him. And these guys had boldness because they had been with Jesus. Not only that, but they had been filled with the Holy Spirit. God was using them to change the world. They were starting the church. They were, and this is the same Peter who denied Christ three times. It's the same Peter who denied that he knew Jesus Christ. But now, filled with the Holy Spirit, this man is bold. And even these people who were trying to hurt them, the council, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they were trying to hurt these people. They told them, don't ever speak in the name. Don't do these things. But they stood back and said, wait a minute. These men aren't educated. They're not like us. They're untrained. But they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And again, if I'm reading too much into this, I'm guilty, but maybe I'm reading the application for us. The fact that we need to be those people that are different. Why? Not because of my status in this world, not because people accept me, not because of all my social media credits or cred, street creds. What makes me different is that I've been with Jesus, that I'm spending time and I'm slowly being changed, hopefully quicker. I would love to grow quicker in my faith. I would love to God change me faster. But hey, it may be a slow process. And the truth is, I'd rather be a crock pot versus the microwave, right? God, use me, grow me, change me to be the person you want me to be. But may people actually see and notice and take note that I have been with Jesus, that I am with Jesus, that I'm walking with God. And that's what's different about me. And I'm grateful for that, because I talk about this often, that God has called us to be salt and light in the world, that we get to represent God in our world today, everywhere we go. And even though what I do in public schools is not necessarily ministry in some people's minds, I think it is. Maybe I talk about this a lot because I'm overwhelmed with the privilege that I have to be able to be salt and light in this place. And so do you. If you are a follower of Christ, if you have, no matter what your vocation is, what your job is, you have been called to be salt and light, that people can see that you have been with Jesus. It's so important. And so I just want to share one more story before I end this podcast. I was recently at a school. I was there for 2 days working with some junior high students. Spoke the first day. And the second day, we went and did small groups all day long. And during a small group time, it's a time for them to ask me questions. We go deeper in the topic, interact. It's a really fun time. I did it 6 times. And it was a long day, but I enjoy it. Well, later in the day, I don't know which group it was, but one kid thought he was being funny, I guess. The way he asked the question was kind of funny, because the other kid was asking questions. He finally, Mr. Brown, what's the purpose of life? And I was like, okay. And some kids kind of laughed. That's why I think it was he was trying to be funny. Some of his friends were laughing at that, because he thought, well, it's going to be a deep subject. And I don't know what he thought, but it felt like he was kind of going, yeah, I got you. All right. So I said, hey, that's a great question. For me, what I believe is this, that we're all created by God and for God, that we were made on purpose, that we have purpose and value. We're not an accident, that God made us and we should live for him, that we're made by God and for God. Therefore, I should live my life for him. Even coming to school today, speaking to you guys, I'm doing it to honor God. When I speak at other places, whether it be a church, teaching Sunday school, the way I love my wife, the way I interact with my kids, all those things are being done to honor the one who made me. And I had an iPad in my hand because I used it to control my computer. And I was like, even this iPad was made for a purpose. And you and I were made for a purpose, too. And that purpose is God. And I said, you don't have to believe that, but that's what I believe. And you asked me what the purpose of life is. I believe that is the purpose of life. We're made by God and for God. And it was great because I just felt comfortable doing that. And I'm not trying to, bait and switch schools. I'm not trying to bring up religion every time I can. But you asked me a real question, I'm going to give you a real answer. That's just who I am. And I was at one school, and one of the principals, the same kind of thing happened, not the exact same way, but she thanked me later, even made a video saying, I'm grateful that Mr. Brown was able to actually share his faith and be himself in our school, because kids need to see that. They need to see that, because if I was a Muslim, people would celebrate it, right? Some people may be upset about that, but that's who I am. And that really does dictate everything about what I do. The way I interact, the way I speak, it all falls from my faith in Jesus Christ. And so I never forget this passage, because I really believe it. This was amazing. That part was amazing, that they had noticed that these were uneducated, untrained men, but they were amazed and began to recognize that they had been with Jesus. I think that's amazing. I hope that is what I want my life to be about. When people see me around the place, see me around, something different about that guy. It's not just his haircut. Yeah, I'm bald. It's not just his clothes. It's something different. And I pray that when people see us, they just wonder, what is it about them? There's something different about them. And I pray that it will be that they had taken notice, they recognized and noticed that we have been with Jesus. Hey, there's so much more in that passage. I would like to talk about how these men were beaten. Maybe we'll talk about another podcast, and they walked out rejoicing that they were worthy to suffer shame for his name. Maybe I'll talk about that in a future podcast. But thank you so much for joining me for this podcast. I would love to hear your response, what you think. And if you like the podcast, do me a favor. Help other people hear about it. You can share this podcast if you listen to the app, just a share button. You can share it with family and friends. If you're watching on YouTube, just press the like button. That's the easy way to support our ministry. Simply pray. Pressing the like button can help this ministry expand, and you can always donate to our ministry as well financially. You can always pray for us. So thank you so much. Visit our website, proclaimministry.com, to find out how you can do all those things. And again, hopefully this ministry, this podcast today, this episode has been useful to help you live for God by connecting faith and life.